Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to be with you today. Of course, all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast, we want to give you a special shout-out to CTN, Christian Television Network, and all of those that are listening across the nation and the world on VFN Radio. We're excited to be having this conversation with you. We love your interaction on Facebook and all the different ways that you're connecting, whether it's through the app, the podcast, or even going to VFNTV.com where you can go see the torch and so much more. This has been just a great joy and an honor, and we just love you guys, and we're grateful that we together can partner to keep the conversation light and focused on Jesus and what he is doing in this hour. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back, and if you missed our previous program, we were talking about the religious spirit, exposing, uncovering, and overcoming this deceptive spirit. And we're going to continue that in our second hour. But we're also going to be talking about the power and the humility of prayer, the trust of love, and so much more. But Steve, how was your weekend? Talk to us. Did you have an enjoyable weekend?
Wow. You know, I had... Wow, where do I begin? No, I mean, I had a good weekend.
You did?
I did. It was a good time. Just, you know, have a little time out in the sunshine, spend a time by the pool, seeing the nieces and nephews, and just kind of run around and, you know, getting a little work.
You have nieces and nephews?
I do have nieces and nephews. That's my...
Here in town?
Here in town, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
This was Saturday. Saturday. Were you there?
I thought so.
Okay. Yes.
Just trying to figure it out. Sorry.
He was hiding in the house.
In the air conditioning.
Yeah.
But it was good, though, because we got to, you know, enjoy some swimming time. And I didn't know if you wanted... Did you happen a chance to venture by the pool or anything?
You do know that we will be discussing that today. You know, I just want our audience to know. I know they hear Steve get on the program, and we do know he has the fans. You know, we get shout-outs from the boys, and, you know, what they like his good day. But I want you to know that Steve... Masterminded. He was the ringleader.
Masterminded. Okay.
Ringleader. Should we say instigator? I mean, this guy. Here I am, Pat.
Looking all sweet and innocent.
I'm out there by
nice
the pool.
Pressed jersey, and
I'm watching the children enjoy themselves swimming. I mean, beautiful day. They have floats in there, and they're throwing the ball. And then I'm enjoying, like, the children are having fun. And I get a chance to rest and fellowship with family and just the church just gathering. I mean, just beautiful. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get hijacked.
Hijacked, he says.
I get lifted off. I mean, just right out of my feet. I mean, if you could see this.
Wow.
I mean, I'm just lifted up, and I turn
what
around.
What happened, man?
I
what
turn
happened?
Around, and Steve, Pat, Steve.
Uh-huh. Mr. Innocence.
Mr. Innocent is lifting me up, and he is...
Off the ground.
Off the ground. All of a sudden, then, as soon as he... Everyone starts coming. See?
No, I want to say that. I mean, there was full family support.
Oh,
I
oh,
think
yes.
I, from what I remember, I believe there was a crowd being like, "I got his keys, I got his wallet, I got his phone."
Oh,
now I know John very, very strategically just kind of jumps in the middle of the story. So we'll rewind a little bit because if my memory serves me correctly, I believe we were enjoying some apple pie, sitting on the couch, and John says, "Hey, I'm going to throw you in the pool."
So I would say
if
that,
you
I
get outside, you got to watch out for yourself because you're going to get thrown in the pool. So I was like, okay, great.
Well, all I noticed, Pat, is that he had this long winter coat on you know. And then
please.
And then he came out with these shorts, these board shorts, and I'm like, where is he going?
What's Speaking it? Of shorts, those yeah. were interesting.
We are
interesting
in
flavor.
Yeah, man.
I went real flowery.
Yeah, real flower. I mean, he just came on out. He was ready.
Hawaiian. And
yeah, he
Donald, those were great. Never mind.
She hooked him up. He had an extra pair.
She did. She hooked me up.
And he jumped
Thank
in.
Thank you, Donna, by the
so
way.
So she
Thank
was in on it then.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Because then, you know, we're outside, like I said. And all, before, I saw my life flash before my eyes. That's all I got to say. I saw my life flash before my eyes.
I was very concerned for you.
So concerned.
While he was sitting at the table doing
We haven't got to him yet. So I knew, I mean, I started laughing so hard because I knew, oh my goodness, I'm about to get thrown in here. So I just could not stop
Start
laughing.
Emptying your pockets.
Oh, I could not stop laughing. But I knew that as long as I was holding on to my phone, I knew that I was not going to go in. I knew that.
Right. Thank you,
so
Teresa.
They are,
thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, my wife, my son, they are literally.
I know they weren't helping you.
No, they wanted me to be in that water.
They were just laughing it up.
Dude, they were ripping my arm off of
my
phone.
I was laughing with them. It was a very enjoyable time.
Me. I mean, everything they can to get me in that water. But, you know, as finally I could not just defend myself any longer, I just said, I'll surrender myself
It didn't have to be that way. It could have been an enjoyable experience.
I get thrown, heaved, if you will, into this water. And then starts to dawn on me, starts to really hit me, that no one came to my defense, Steve.
That was a display of love, man.
Pat, where was he? Where was he?
Dude, you were enjoying it.
He was spectating.
I didn't want to.
Hey,
he was supporting.
That up.
At one time, I look around as I'm getting ready to be thrown in. And he's outside. You know, I hadn't seen him outside one time, but he was outside.
I think he was videotaping.
No, actually, I was in
that,
the screener
actually.
Room.
I believe he was videotaping.
I did not dare open that door.
You knew you were next.
Oh.
You knew you were next.
As a matter of fact, I believe there was probably 7, 8, or 9 people videotaping that.
Oh, my goodness. It was William Strength.
I think Greg was
with
the camera as well.
Yeah, he was enjoying it.
And I'm pretty sure he was laughing, too. So we were there with you all.
Actually, he was like, he's old. Be careful. Don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. Put him down. Don't hurt him.
Don't break him.
But, But, you know.
John got thrown in the pool.
If you have any suggestions on how we could.
No, wait, don't be.
Bless
these. Don't be inviting other people now.
You know,
come
just
on now.
Feel free to get in contact with us. But, and I noticed that Chris didn't do anything either. He didn't even come to the screen room. He just.
Mm-mm.
He's.
Yeah, he knew better.
He stayed.
He stayed inside.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't start the fight either, so he didn't.
You know,
he didn't try to tell other people what he was going to do.
He's staying in his lane. He was staying in his lane. My goodness. Well, when we get right back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation that we left off in the first program regarding this religious spirit. More when we get right back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
How many times do I have to tell you? This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and every parent has had those times when you want to nag your kids to obey. Jill Savage has 5 kids and shares a great way she's learned to deal with that frustration.
I recently did that with our kids' chores because I felt like I was constantly, did you do your chore today? Did you do your chore today? And finally, my husband and I said, all right, they do it by 5 o'clock on their own without reminded, and if they don't, here's the consequences. And we laid it out on paper. I don't get angry anymore. If it's not done at 5 o'clock, then they've lost video games or they've lost television. And I'm not angry.
Well, there's no quick, easy, one-size-fits-all formula for getting your child to do everything he or she is told. But putting consequences into place will substantially increase the likelihood of their compliance. More trusted tips for your family at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve.
You okay?
I am. I'm okay.
Did you recover?
I recovered. I'm
get it all out.
You're
all
right. I still need prayer. I mean, I still need prayer.
I noticed you picked your wife up after that.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was.
Was there
even knowing she had the
plot there? What was going on there?
Well, I saw her and Stephen Cahoots about trying to get me in that pool. I said, okay.
But I noticed you also put her down.
Well, you know.
Gently.
Yeah. She's. I'm going to get.
She held onto the phone.
I also told her I'm going to spray her with some spray water. I'm going to get. I thought about coming yesterday with a. Put some water, wetting everybody. But I said no.
Yeah, you just knew better.
No, I won't do that.
He knows this is not over.
Hmm. Okay. So back to the religious spirit. So we were talking about the tentacles in this analogy of an octopus, if you will, of the religious spirit, because this thing has so many different dimensions to it. It means like. And so many extremes. It hides. It camouflages. It's at certain times and manifests different ways in certain people, where it's bold and brazen and smug, and then other people. Sometimes you don't even see it. It's operating in the background, if you will. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, it's like something happens. It goes roar. You know, it manifested here. A tentacle got loose. But one of the ways is unbelief. A person with a religious spirit sometimes has a tendency to struggle with spiritual things, you know, gifts of the spirit, dreams. You say hearing God's voice, and they're like, really? It's like, yeah. You know, the Bible, John 10, you know, my sheep hear my voice, you know. You know, some, you know. It's like, how do you struggle with that? How do you struggle with gifts and dreams? You know. And that's when you ask, like, well, do you read the word? Do you abide? Because let's see, Philip was translated. Peter's shadow was healing the sick. Didn't Peter have a trance? And that was that thing about Paul and third heaven revelation. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. Didn't angels come and get Peter out of prison? I mean, something like that. Oh, yeah. And Jesus' own words. Greater works will you do because I'm going to the Father. I mean, hello. And so it's like this struggle with unbelief. Got to get rid of it. got to get rid of it. Another one is false holiness, thinking that one is holy because of what they've done instead of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I mean, there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves holy, to make ourselves righteous. In fact, the scriptures say that our righteousness is like that of a filthy rag.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we attain any kind of righteousness or holiness apart from the one who is holy, the one who is sinless and spotless and holiness himself?
Mm-hmm.
So you see a false holiness appearing in their life, which is basically all these man-made regulations and things that they try to do to present themselves in such a way like that. Another way is being hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blaze through a lot of these because there's quite a few. We don't have really that much time to get into all of them. Another one is salvation by works, not trusting in, again, the finished work of the cross, that salvation is by grace, but rather doing all of these things to earn salvation, to earn a right place with God. Another one is fearful of losing their salvation. Another one is being intolerant, and that stems from self-righteousness. This is typically people that have a problem with where people are at in their relationship with God, and so they project, you know, on them where they need to be by now. By now, you should be by now. Mm-hmm. It's intolerant, not understanding that it's the grace of God operating mm-hmm. in someone's life. It's the move of the Holy Spirit that is the one that's ministering to them, mm-hmm. and trusting in what God's doing in their life, giving them the same grace that you had. You didn't get the revelation. It's amazing. I was like, someone who has a revelation given to them by God, not something that they earned. So God gave them the revelation, right? And God progressively brought them into that revelation. But once they have the revelation, they want you to have it, you know, like immediately the next day. Hey, didn't God just reveal this to you over a series of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We got to afford people that same amount of grace to say, you know, all right, well, God's working with you, but, mm-hmm. you know, we'll pray and believe that the same way God revealed it to me, that maybe there'll be a quicker grace and maybe this be accelerated in your life and you'll get to, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to project that you should already know it. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Another one is doubt. They doubt everything in God's word. And a lot of times it's because they're attempting to go after God in their head and the work of the flesh instead of trusting in the Holy Spirit. So it's like, I've been doing this whole thing, going after God in my own ability. You tell me one more other thing. I can't believe that. Yeah, I've been doing this whole thing, dragging these bricks over here. You know what I mean? I can't believe God to do that. And so we see all these, the ways how they're just all intertwined and interconnected. And the truth is that we can be set free.
Mm-hmm.
We can be set free because Jesus is who the Son sets free. Is free indeed. And God's called us to be more than a conqueror, that we're an overcomer in God, right? Mm-hmm. To him who overcomes, the book of Revelations, to him who overcomes over and over, not who is overcome, but who does the overcoming. And with anything that God shows us in the Word of God or anything the Holy Spirit convicts us of, we come to the place of you know, wow, we confess to God, hey, you know, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for showing this to me. And I agree with your word. I confess that, hey, this is wrong. This is sin, you know, mm-hmm. wow. And I ask God to forgive me. I ask the Lord to forgive you, and you repent. And that's turning away from allowing this thing, having a zero tolerance for it in your life. But the other thing you do, while you're doing it, you trust in the finished work of the Holy Spirit, of God, of what Jesus did on the cross. You trust in the blood. You trust in the cross. You receive your forgiveness. And, of course, the other thing is that you move in love.
Mm-hmm.
Because, interestingly enough, the Pharisees come up to Jesus and say, what is the greatest commandment? They brought that measure stick again. You know, yeah. What is the greatest commandment? Because you know they were about it, they wanted to do it. You know, uh-huh. What was the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, is to love the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, and that's loving your neighbor as yourself. And in this way, on this way, the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I mean, think about that. Where four of the Ten Commandments are relating to God, loving God, love, you know, and the other six have to do in relation to human beings, right? Mm-hmm. Other people. And so if we love God and we love others, we're going to be, you know, we're going to fulfill the law, because we're not going to, by focusing on that, not focusing on the law, not focusing on what we shouldn't do, but focus on love. Mm-hmm. And if that's our highest goal and our highest objective, then that should probably preoccupy most of our attention and our efforts. How can I love God more? Not to earn something, just because we want to love him and out of a sense of gratitude, out of a sense of bringing joy to the Father and pleasing him, we want to express our love. And love has, you know, many people have different ways that they like to experience love, whether it's gift giving or words of affirmation or, you know, words of encouragement, quality time, you know, list goes on and on. But, you know, God's love language is obedience.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And we just don't tell him, we show him.
Right.
And but that comes natural. That comes as a natural byproduct in a relationship, in a relationship in our life. It's not hard to love someone that you love. I mean, you know, if you're in love with them, just go back to the beginning. Maybe your love has grown cold. And we can overcome, because greater is he that's in than us, than he that's in the world. And God's called us to be an overcomer. We can trust in what he's done. And I think that's the biggest thing, because a lot of times, you know, I know that was something for me. If you know, give me a plan, give me a five-step thing, I will knock this thing out. And God's like, no, you ain't knocking nothing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trust in what I can do. It's amazing that the Holy Spirit can do in 3 minutes what you couldn't do in 30 years, what you can't do in 30 years. Because God is the one. Whatever we behold, we become. I know you're going to be talking to this in this hour about whatever we're beholding, whatever we are putting our gaze upon, that's what we ultimately, you know, become. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our eyes focused and just loving God and walking in a relationship with him, you know, a lot of these things that maybe we're struggling with, the things that are attacking us, things that are overcoming us, you know, that we should be overcoming, will quickly go to the wayside. We'll walk victorious. We'll walk in true victory. So we can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So no, Steve. I saw those eyes, boy. They were going back and forth. I know that you were talking to us and previously before about some of the things that the Lord was showing you, and I know that we're going to be talking about later on what we're beholding we become. But talk to us about love and about trust, because I know that that's something that was on your heart, and it's just so important we get this.
Yeah, it's something that has just really jumped out at me as I've been... You know, God has shown me something, preparing me.
But Steve, I want you to do that. I want you to do that right before we right when we get back from this break. Mm-hmm. Continue to talk about love and trust, and don't forget to catch us more when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the scores. I think the Saints played the Browns, and, you know, how that
football team, yeah,
yeah, football team. You know, Pat and Chris, they like punishment. But when I asked them this morning what was the score, they didn't know. Now we
that
know.
Can only mean one thing.
Well, we know that. So I had to search the score myself, and 26-24. I mean, it must be tough being one of those fans that, you know, your team just. You think you can, you think you can, you think, no, I can't. I think you can't, you know, you think they're going to get over the hump, and they just don't. And I don't know why they want to continue to support that type of team. But anyhow, that's why I like to be encouraged when I think about.
Pat?
Don't even go. He has no words. He doesn't even want to talk about it.
I think he muted his own microphone.
Well, what can he say? I mean, this, when you. Saints.
He's not even looking at you. Oh, there he is.
There's not any. That's why. There's more important things. Steve, weren't you going to talk to us about
yes.
for us?
But I remember, you know, we're getting to you know what's funny though is that Peter was he's up on many of the scores, and he was keeping me updated. He's like, oh, this is not good. This is not. He's like, don't say anything to them because they're going to have to watch this on their own. And he's like, it's not going to be good. And he's like, and they lost to the Browns. And I was like, remember, there was a day when the Saints were known as the Aints, and they were they had the paper bags. He's like, there was a day.
Well, it's still today. I mean, it's, you know,
I'm trying to bring up some type of encouragement.
Well, here's the encouragement part. We have to look to a guy who's not even playing in the NFL anymore to bring us encouragement. And I wanted to tell you about. Oh, he's not even smiling. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, we see, I wish he was playing. Maybe the Saints can get him. I don't know. But Tim Tebow, he's not even playing football, but I want to tell you that he has a job with ESPN. We already know that as analysis for the SEC conference, right? Also, he just got a new job. I guess he's doing both with ABC and Good Morning America.
Really?
Watch this.
Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow is joining Good Morning America. The Heisman Trophy winner led the Denver Broncos to the playoffs in 2012, and he briefly played for the New York Jets and New England Patriots. Since then, he has been working as a guest host and analyst with ESPN. Tebow, who has been very public about his Christian faith, will be part of a segment called Motivate Me Monday, which highlights individuals and their stories of triumph. He'll appear in studio and on live locations in towns across the country. The series premieres next week, September 15th.
Amazing. I just don't get it. The best guy to be the face of the NFL is not even in the NFL. The guy who I mean, this he, you know, he's got his great character. Everybody loves him. He works hard, plays great. We want to see him in the NFL. Maybe, Pat, maybe you can get a petition going. I know how much you like this, you know. Maybe just, I don't know. The Saints could use some help. Let's get him on there. Well, he's going to be doing both of these programs.
I don't think Tebow can even
help him. Well, this is exciting. My understanding is that he's still working out and still believing that he can play in the NFL.
He's got faith.
He does have some faith. Well, Steve, talk to us.
Well, God has just really brought me into my own situation of just realizing as far as preparation, has been speaking to me and brought a lot of things together and encourage me, and then when things started to be visualizing, and like, I don't know how best to put it, but it's just like all of a sudden what God told me was going to happen, I began to see it. And immediately it went right from my heart, right to my head, and I just began to all of a sudden, well, I got to do all these things, and I got to get this done. And
you don't do that.
I got to get this over here.
You don't go in your head. Like, come on.
No.
Steve.
Once or twice.
No.
Once or twice.
You go there?
Still? Very much so. But, you know, it was the fact of what God showed
Pat
me.
Pat doesn't either, though, but go ahead.
No, not at all. Those other guys.
If I had a head, I'd go this. Yeah, Oh, he's like, amen.
But it was just like, you know, what God was showing me was that I wasn't trusting. And it's just like, God brought me to this point. God's going to continue to guide me to where whatever's next. And
right.
what God really exposed to me and what revealed to me is, like I said, the lack of trust in my own life, in certain areas of my own heart. And it really brought to light the significance of it. And the Holy Spirit was showing me too, in 1 Corinthians, it's a lot of people can talk about, you know, love and it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. But when you continue on, it says, it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. But love always trusts.
Mm.
And that is so powerful. And that has just been, God has just really been highlighting that. And what's so significant is that even when we don't see things, even when we don't see the fullness of the situation, or what God even said He's bringing us to, when we don't see the next step, like you're saying, God's love language is obedience. God's love language is responding to Him in faith, because without faith, without works in God, our faith is dead.
Right.
You know, we do that in accordance with where God is leading us to. And what God has just really been highlighting to me is that He was showing to me and speaking to me in John 6. Some people have probably been aware of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the Bible talks about how Jesus was speaking to people, and he's out in a boat because the crowds are so thick, the crowds are so just full on this piece of land that Jesus had to go in a boat to be able to teach them from afar. And Jesus crosses the lake or wherever he's at the time, and all of a sudden these people are following him. And Jesus looks up and he sees a great crowd coming towards him, and he says, you know, where are we going to buy all some bread for these people to eat? And of course the disciples respond in what they know in their heads, and they're like, you know, there's not enough, a full day's wages or a full year's wages is not going to give enough bread for everyone to have a bite. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, tell me what you got. And the disciples find a boy, and he says, well, here's some loaves and some fishes. And he's got a little basket. And Jesus gives thanks to God with what he's got, and he uses what he has, the small loaves of bread and fish, to feed 5,000. And then even afterwards, after everybody has enough to eat, there's more left over than what was initially given. And me initially, and I'm sure many others, we get focused on the fact that Jesus fed 5,000. We're like, man, what a miracle. And, you know, Jesus created enough with not enough, and he did a miracle. And it's like we lose sight of the fact that God did not just feed 5,000. God created the boy that brought the fish. God created the fish. God created the man that wove the basket that carried the fish. But the thing about it is this. God created the situation that highlighted a situation of quote-unquote lack for a people to look to God to say, I need help. I'm in a situation that's not enough. Or I'm finding myself that I don't have enough where I'm at, and I need your help. I need your guidance. And if you're following the will of God, if you find yourself with not enough, and I'm not talking to somebody who's in rebellion to God, who's running from God, or just, I'm not talking about that. But if you're in the will of God and you're saying, okay, God, I just want to go with where you want me to go. You told me this is going to happen. I'm just going to step out in faith. And then all of a sudden you realize that it's beyond you. Or it's bigger than you. Don't get caught up in the fact that you got a basket with not enough of what you need, because God brought you to that situation. He brought it all together. God led his son to that specific area, brought thousands of people to that area, all to highlight the fact of like, oh, we don't have enough. And so often in the smallness of our thinking of our heads, we can say, oh my goodness, and get freaked out and start to doubt and start not to trust. But if we still trust God, we know that whatever's in our hand, it doesn't matter, because God's bigger than that. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. It's like God owns everything. He created everything. And that's the powerful thing about it, is that if God brought you to where you are, he's going to bring you to the fullness of whatever the situation you're in. And in Philippians, it says, you know, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to carry it on till completion. And we have to continue to, what started in faith, we got to continue to move in faith. And it really just began, I just began to just see, and there's so much more to this, of how so much there's a lack of trust if we're professing to say, hey, I'm with God. I'm walking with God. I'm in this situation with God. Because trust is so powerful that the Bible shares with us that that's how we love.
Yeah. It's like we're living out of, you're walking this out of the store, out of your own storehouse, or mm-hmm. the storehouse of his bounty, as the Bible says. I mean, are you doing this out of his provision
yeah.
closet or your own?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many times people don't attempt to do things. They only attempt to do things for God as much so that they can see that they have enough to do it. So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I got enough supplies to do that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to saying, what does God want me to do? Doing it, understanding that God has everything that we're going to need as we go.
Yeah. And what even highlights to me, too, in the significance of this is that, you know, sometimes just the very word trust can cause you just to cringe, because it's just like, if you're doing that, okay, you're probably not trusting. Because I think about, we've talked about in a past segment, about a trust fall. And a trust fall, it's like you stand up, you got about 4 or 6 people standing behind you, and you got to trust the people behind you that you're going to fall backwards, and they're going to catch you. And if you don't trust them, all of a sudden your body's just going to crunch up, and you're like, I don't know. And it's just like, there are so many that are living their life like that because mm-hmm. they don't trust God. They don't trust the fact that they're holding all things together. And I remember personally in my life, I was going through, you know, just a situation where I just needed that guidance. And, you know, as a matter of fact, it was a conversation that I had before. And what we talked about was the fact that, do we ever wake up thinking about, you know, Africa being held together or South America being held together? I don't. It's that big. It's bigger than me. God's got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. God's holding that situation together. Well, if God can hold that continent together, he can hold your situation together. And so often we don't think about that because we're involved in this situation. So we think we have to have our hands all over it.
Mm.
But if we trust God, we know the fact that it's God that brought this. And God wants us to be free in him. God wants us to be secure in him and trust and know the fact that God's holding it together. And the powerful thing is, John G. Lake said, He said, if God calls you out, you step out in bold faith, and he will meet you there every single time. And that's so powerful because trust is when we step out for the next step when we don't even see a staircase. When God says, go here, and we see nothing. Because when we're stepping out on and trusting on God, we're going to be stepping out on his word. We're stepping out on his direction. And that's so powerful because that's when we realize if we're really loving God. Because if we say that we love God, but we don't trust his word, we don't trust the fact that he's in control, we don't trust his guidance, then we're not really loving God. We're only loving God to the ability and to the length that we can figure it out.
Yeah, you know, trust is such a powerful word. But when we say trust, you know, a lot of times we struggle with trusting people, or the reason we struggle with trusting people is because we have seen something in their character that has shown them to us and to others as one who's not trustworthy. Maybe you've given them something, they haven't returned it, you trusted them to do something, they didn't do it, you've trusted them to, I don't know, with whatever, mm-hmm. and they just crash and burn. You know, mm-hmm. they don't mm-hmm. fulfill it. And so you say, well, hey, I've been there, done that before. This is not something that I can entrust to their care because, yeah, I may not get it back or what have you. They may loan it to somebody else. You get that? It's like, didn't I trust that to you? How did that end over there? You know, type of thing. Yet we take that same type of mindset sometimes. With God, you say, I don't trust God. What are you really saying to God when you're saying that? When you're saying I don't trust God, what you're saying is that I don't trust in your integrity. I don't trust that you have integrity. I don't trust that you can deliver. I don't trust that you're gonna do what mm-hmm. your word says you're gonna do, and that you're not gonna be there. And think about that. When you say you're not trusting God, you're questioning his character and his integrity, and then mm-hmm. you gotta look back and say, "Oh my, who am I?
Yeah,
what in the world? How did this happen that I got to the place where I can question the integrity of God?" Whether God's going to deliver or not, we need to, at that point, just step back and say, God, forgive me. I know that you're faithful. Yeah. And if you can take care of the birds of the air, if you have numbered each hair on all of our heads, and not one bird falls out of the sky, not out of your knowing or out of your awareness, that's one thing. But if a bird doesn't fall out of the sky outside of your will, your plan, you hold all things together. You can manage anything that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, we don't have to have faith and trust in the good times because we see those things. It's the times that we are visibly able to see where is God in this situation, what's going on. Listen, there's always a big picture going on. There's things happening behind the scenes. All we need to do is hang on God's promise, hang on what he said, hang on his character, and watch God fulfill what he said he's going to do. He is trustworthy. He has and always will deliver.
Mm-hmm.
We can trust him. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
I mean, can you imagine being on a football field, Pat?
Yeah. Not now, I could.
In his glory days.
Way, way, way back then.
Really?
Yeah.
He can imagine.
I can imagine.
He can imagine.
Thing. He got that PS2 thing, you know. He thinks he's played football now.
He didn't actually play. You said imagine.
We got to find that rag head. You had the look. You had,
oh, it's on the torch.
I've got it.
Oh, we have that.
It's on the torch.
Okay, good. We'll bring that up.
Yes.
Was he holding the ball or was he on the bench? I can't remember what
that
picture
was. He was holding the water. It was the water.
The offense was on the field.
But he looked so footballish. He looked so footballish sitting on the bench.
I was resting.
Is that what they call those guys at Portland?
It took me a while to realize. Wait a minute. He's not on the field. He said he's on the bench. But he sure looked like a football player.
He had going on.
No, getting back
there
to
there was
it.
A day.
There was a day.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. You know, when we think about prayer and talking with God, it really shows, you know, staying in daily communion with God through prayer shows our humility and total dependency on Him. Kind of goes in line with what you were talking about, Steve, mm-hmm. in terms of trust.
Yeah.
But you ever notice that people tend not to pray about a situation when they feel like, I can handle this. I've got this. But most go to God in prayer when they feel like there are no other options on their own. They need divine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, hey, when I've got this, don't need to pray about it, you know. But now when my back's up against the wall, it's like, oh God, I need you to deliver. The truth is that no matter the choices and decisions that lie before us, we want to embrace a humble attitude, a dependent attitude upon the Lord, and one that doesn't take his or own counsel, but one who seeks the heart and the will of God in any and every situation. That's a big deal. In our relationship with God, in our you know, growth and walking, you know, with Him, we want to embrace this place of humility, of mm-hmm. dependency, that says, God, I just don't want to dial you up, if you will, when I don't know the answers, when I think I don't know the answers,
mm-hmm.
and my back is against the wall, but I want to seek you and your heart, your will, your plan, your intentions, your desire, in any given situation that I find myself in, not moving in a place of presumption, like, I already know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know that. But instead, involving and including God in it. You know, I think we forget sometimes that God desires a relationship. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're involving Him in our lives. It's we're walking this thing out, and the things we got to desire, that, you know, in order to do that, in order to begin to include God in our decision making, to include God in the things that we have to come to a place where we have to, you know, make a choice about something, we have to have an inner desire first to want to please Him. And that be our highest objective. We're not going to invite God into a situation for wisdom if we're not even valuing, you know, pleasing the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. With understanding that He is the reason that we live and move and have our being. That He is the most important person in the universe to us. That's an important question to ask. Like, you know, you ask people, who is Jesus to you? Another great question is like, what is the highest priority in your life? Who is the most important person in your life? Well, even if it shouldn't be a family member, someone may say a family member, child or spouse or whatever. It's God. It's Jesus, because everything flows out of him, right? And I believe that the reason many people don't truly seek God in prayer or seek godly counsel is because if they're honest, they don't care about what God wants. They don't want to know his opinion. They don't want to know what's the wise thing to do in this situation according to, you know, the word of God. They only care about wanting to please them. And we got to be careful about that. You know, is this about me or is this about you, God? And prayer, if prayer in your life is seen as a resource to help you accomplish your goals, or if you will, quote unquote, a divine connection to seek, you know, help from God so that, okay, you know, I got this plan, I got this goal, so I'm going to seek God, or is prayer a divine connection for you to seek the goals and plans the Father has for you? So, like, are you talking to God because you want him to help you with what you got going on? Or are you seeking God to find out, hey, God, what do you have going on? And how can I, you know, be a part of what you're doing, you know? Not asking God to bless your work, but for you to find, you know, a blessing in doing the work that God has for you to do. You know, it's a big, kind of a big difference there. It is a big difference. And what we're doing with all that is that we come to a place where you got to ask yourself, like, why do we pray? Why, you know, how many times do you come to God for help with something that you didn't even seek his counsel? Like, it's like, you know, God, could you help me with this? Can you help me with that? Can you open this door? Can you just like, okay, you want the answer to this prayer, but you didn't even ask me if, let's back up a step.
Right.
Did I even want you to do that? You know, is that even, you know.
That's my will.
Is this my will? Is this what's right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, many times I think people don't get an answer to their prayers just because their question or desire is just foolish. God's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? You want how much? Remember what you did with the last $5 that you had. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, duh, look, you know, I would lose you. It would ruin you. And the question we're going to ask ourselves, why miss the blessing that prayer affords us all? There is a blessing that prayer does for every single one of us. It affords us a wonderful blessing. Why miss that? The greatest blessing that prayer affords every single person is an audience with the living God. Every person can have audience with God through prayer. And when we truly understand the privilege that we've been given, we tend to realize that with this access we've been given, there's a greater purpose for it. And with that comes a greater responsibility. Access says there has to be a greater purpose for this access, and now there's a greater responsibility. I mean, if you had access to the President of the United States, and you know that you had opportunity to have conversation with the most powerful man in the world right now, what would your conversation be about? What would you talk about? Would you talk about, hey, you know, I know you like to play golf. You play a little basketball? You know, tell me, how does it feel to be in the White House? How, you know, what does it feel to live here? And no. Or would you recognize for such a time as this, would you recognize that you've been given access? What would you discuss about? Healthcare as it relates to you? tell me more about this healthcare policy. No, or would you walk into the president's office and realize I've been given access? I have an opportunity, and with this opportunity comes responsibility. Would you talk about Israel? Would you talk about what are we doing to end human trafficking in America? Would you talk about abortion? Would you talk about what's happening on the borders? Would you talk about the persecution of Christians, etc.? What would you be talking about when you have access? And I think that, you know, here's another thing. Would you even ask him how he is doing?
Right. Yeah.
How can I pray for you, President? How are you doing? And I think a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, we have a perception of going after God for thinking about, you know, God, what can you do for us? Instead of, Lord, what can we do for you? Lord, what's on your heart today? God, what concerns you today? How can I bless you today? How can I put a smile on your face today? God has given us a great privilege, a great access. And may it be our prayer and our life's mission to understand that, hey, we should use this wisely. That it comes to a point in our walk with God that when we thought, you know, we were a child, we thought like a child, we acted like a child, but we understand that we can see God. We start to begin to seek him for, you know, greater things. We begin to look at the opportunity that we have with the Lord and say, God, you hold the earth in your hand. You can do all things. We can talk to you. You've given us authority on this earth. We can pray for this world. We can pray for people that are suffering. We can do things with you because you want to operate through us.
Yeah.
You will answer our prayers. You said whatever we ask for you in prayer, and we can do that together. So our prayer today, God, is you would help us to seize the moment, that you would help us to recognize the access you've given us and how we can walk humbly and boldly at the same time to your throne of grace, living a life totally dependent upon you, asking you to do great wonders in the world today. God, would you do it? Touch us, help us, and let's do it together. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Ooh. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course they're talking to each other, Mary and her son's talking, and says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And, yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, Let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes, oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth, and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.